Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. Marketing is one of the most important activities that we can be doing for our businesses because we can create the content, we can create the books and the courses, but without the marketing, we are the world's greatest hidden secret. But at the same time, you don't just want to grow a little. You don't want to go for like very small growth. You want to go for really high-end growth. You want a 10x. Where you currently are right now. We have a guest who's actually going to talk with us about the 10X marketing formula based on his book with the same name. But today's guest is the CEO and co-founder of CoSchedule, the web's number one marketing calendar and mission control for your entire life. As previously covered, he is the author of the 10X marketing formula, which is the blueprint for creating competition-free content that stands out and gets results. Today's guest for episode 250 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Garrett Moon. Garrett, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Appreciate the intro and really excited to dive into some stuff here today.
Garrett, I'm really happy to have you on the show. And with marketing, I feel like a lot of people understand the importance of it, but they're wondering how do they get these like really incredible results? And you mentioned competition-free content, which is something we'll be going into a little later during this episode. But can you give us a little background as to why you decided to write your book, The 10X Marketing Formula?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just kind of an accumulation of things. You know, at CoSchedule, we talk to customers every single day that are producing content, publishing on social, using digital marketing to enhance their brand and build their businesses. And when I go to conferences, I speak, I talk to marketers. I just kept hearing some of the same problems, hey, we've really embraced content marketing. We're creating content. We're actually doing it regularly right now, but we're just not seeing the results, and we're not seeing the business value from content marketing. It's really about just saying, what are some of the things that we've done at CoSchedule? What are some of the things that I've seen work along the way? What are some of the things that I've seen not work? And, how can we help marketers really get actual results, not just giving them another, another idea or another list of best practices that they can follow for content marketing, but actually give them a formula that helps them generate value for their business. And so that was really the goal. We've been able to do that at CoSchedule, and it really just takes some of the stuff that's worked best for us, packages it up in a way that people can really apply it to what they do on a day-to-day basis.
And part of that formula is that ability to create competition-free content, which, I mean, that's like such a strong distinction, especially when we're talking about like really saturated niches like social media marketing, digital marketing. There's so many people in that. So regardless of what niche we're in, how saturated or unsaturated it is, how can we get to that point where we are creating competition-free content?
Yeah, I think the idea here is that, if you got into content marketing as your, had a nice jump on all your competition, they probably weren't producing blog content or weren't producing a podcast or video or whatever that kind of, that content might be. And they're the only ones creating pitch. they were able to get subscribers, they were able to get eyeballs, and they were able to get customers through that content. But now, you know, as we're moving into 2018, you know, every single brand really is doing content marketing in some format or has built a content marketing program. And so your competitors are blogging, your competitors are publishing videos, your competitors are producing podcasts, and all at relatively high quality. So we have to do more than ever now in order for our content to really stand out. And the first step is just acknowledging that you're in a competitive space, that you not only use your business competing with other businesses, but the marketing you're producing on a day-to-day basis is in competition with other marketing materials. So you've got to find ways to go beyond the status quo in terms of content creation and really develop something I call competition-free content. And competition-free content is really about finding a type of content. It may be a style, it may be a subject matter, it may be the way you deliver it or package it or whatever, but something that allows you to deliver something to the market that no one else is going to be able to deliver. And so in the book, I highlight just several examples of this. I mean, one of them is a startup called Groove that started sharing its internal numbers, traffic growth numbers, discussions it was having with VCs and venture capitalists, and really just kind of opened up the kimono and started talking about something that only they could talk about and only they were willing to talk about. And it was able to really drive their email list subscribers. It was really able to drive trial to paid subscriptions on their site. Kind of finding that really was the breakthrough for them. And I also talk a little bit about how I got CoSchedule. We create more in-depth content. Our articles are two or three times longer than our competitors. We create more graphics. We create downloadable PDFs and giveaways for every single piece of content we write, and how some of those types of things, while a bit more simpler than what Groove came up with, really allowed us to create competition-free content as well. So the purpose of it really is to find what's going to be, what's going to work best for you and your business and in your industry. But we go through several examples so you can kind of get an idea of how to apply that principle.
And I like how you mentioned a few different things we could do, like the style and the delivery, some of the things that we can utilize to create competition-free content. But one of the things that a lot of people may be wondering is that, like, they know they're spending so much time on their creating content, they're promoting content, they're not just doing like the blog post, videos, podcasts, but they're also creating the products and services to monetize. Right. So where does this lead to the results people are after? Like, how exactly can we get those results that we're after with all this work we're putting in for the content?
Yeah, privatization, right? And I think, what separates those that really that don't is just focus on certain areas. I think, in particular with digital marketing, it's very easy for us to just get distracted by every new thing that comes from a social network, right? Every new social network that pops up, we have Facebook stories now, Snapchat, how should we be doing Snapchat marketing? How about video? How about Instagram? How about, whatever? So there's always something new to be doing. And I think too often we kind of follow the trends and go running after some types of places. And what happens is we kind of spend a little bit of time on a bunch of different places, but we don't actually make a big impact anywhere. And that's a real threat and a real problem. So I think it really comes down to focusing on where can you create the biggest impact with your time in terms of, is that producing video content? If you're very good on video, you can talk very easily, and that is just a place that comes very naturally for you, then you need to focus your energy there and accentuate your strengths. Like CoSchedule, we kind of looked at ourselves and said, video is probably not our thing, but we're really, really good at written content and SEO. And so that's where we're going to double down our efforts and spend our time. And that means learning to say no to some things. Right. As entrepreneurs, we're kind of, we can take this on. We can do it. We're not afraid of taking on new challenges and going places. But you really have to learn how to pick and choose your battles so that you can really make a deep impact in certain spots. And a big part of that is, what happens when I talk about 10x marketing is really about focusing to multiply your efforts by 10 times versus being distracted by what I would call 10% opportunities. Opportunities like you know, Facebook stories or Instagram stories, they might be beneficial to your business and brand, but only by an incremental amount. So you're better off spending it on a big 10x opportunity if you can.
And I really like the distinction between 10x versus 10%. That was actually going to be something that I discussed. But I mean, one of the things that I want to follow up, because like you did explain the difference already, but like with the Facebook stories, with the Instagram stories, those are things that they have an incremental boost. There's other things like scheduling content. There's like a lot of things that give you that incremental boost that you like, some of it you absolutely have to be doing, like scheduling posts or something like that. At other points, it's something that it may not be as necessary. But how can we spend less time on the 10% stuff and more time on the 10x stuff?
Well, one, you just have to say no to some 10% things, right? And realize that if you can replace a 10% improvement, if you can replace, like, let's just say you shut down an entire social channel that's taking up a lot of time. You just say, you know what, we're done. We're like, we just don't see a lot of traffic from Instagram or something. And so we're going to put our efforts elsewhere. You need to be making or willing to make some of those calls and some of those decisions and realize that bottle it up and focus it more on a 10X project. You're going to get better business results. And I think that just comes from being dead set, like stubbornly set on results. Like all you really care about is numbers and traffic or numbers and subscribers or customers, and you're willing to make the decisions necessary to drive just those numbers. It's like, I think that's kind of the first, the first piece of that. And I think, you know, in terms of the other side of it, it's just really, I think allowing yourself to think differently about the projects that you find and prioritize. I talk about in the book something called 10X brainstorms, where we kind of set a problem and say, hey, we want to reach X number of subscribers. And you kind of set this big goal and this big, thing before you. And you do a brainstorm. Like, what are all the ideas and all the different things that you can do in order to find that? And you put them on post-it notes, you put them up in the board, and then you start to rank them. And one of my favorite things them in terms of how they are to compare, is in the board that we think are good ones that will increase subscribers. I put a one on that sticky note in less than a week. And I put two on a sticky note if I think it's going to take me 2 weeks to do, or three on a sticky note if I think it's going to take me 3 weeks or more. And I think one thing that you'll realize at that point is that a lot of 10X ideas end up being threes. Time to implement. And the key is that what you need to find are some of these ones and twos, some of these things that you can do and execute within a week in a shorter time frame, rather than biting off these big types of projects. And I think that, you know, that type of approach, just kind of understanding the time and investments that some of these things are going to take and prioritizing them will really help you make sure you focus on some of those the right things at the right time.
And I really like that sticky note method where you're getting clear on how long it'll take. And that also, in a sense, is giving you a deadline, because if you don't say this will take 3 weeks, it could take 4 or 5 or 6, because you don't plant that deadline for yourself. And once you write it on paper, it's just so much easier to get done and plan how you're going to approach it. But some people, definitely. I mean, I use sticky notes a lot. I schedule my day. And one of the things that I also want to address is that some people, they may be doing the sticky notes, they may have the 10X goals in their head for how they want to grow their content brands, but what do you believe holds most people back from being able to achieve the level of growth and results they want for their businesses?
Well, besides, you know, other than just being distracted, right, by projects that aren't providing enough results, I think we often get kind of distracted by metrics and numbers. With digital marketing, we have the great fortune of being able to measure everything that we do. There's a lot of numbers. We can track visitors, we can track unique visitors, we can track conversions, we can track email list growth, social media growth, like social media engagement, like a ton of metrics. And that creates sort of this problem in that there's always a way that we can look at our business and say we're achieving some sort of success. Oh, well, my social media followers are up, or my email list followers are up. But I think that kind of tells the wrong story. And so I think you really have to get into the habit of deciding what the goal is, right? Like to have breakthrough success, you have to know what breakthrough success means. And that doesn't mean that every single channel and every single thing that you're doing is going to have the most followers. At CoSchedule, we don't have the most social media followers out of anybody in the universe or really even in our market. It hasn't been our number one focus. Our number one focus has always been email list growth because we felt that it provided, and our data showed that it provided the biggest impact to our business was email list growth. So that's where we focused 100% of our efforts. And for a very long time, our 3 or 4 person marketing team talked pretty much nothing about no other metrics but that. We talked about page views and email subscribers. And if those two things are moving up and to the right, and they're moving in the right direction, we didn't have to talk about them. We didn't have to think about them. We didn't have to focus on them. So for a very long period of time, all we focused on was that email list growth. And now we've actually moved to qualified leads and some other things. But having a very, very focused metric and a very, very focused goal will help you eliminate email list growth is your number one concern. And it's a very good one to pick. You'll kind of naturally start forgetting about some of those other things that just aren't driving email list growth.
And you mentioned email list as a top priority. I mean, that's something that I take as a top priority in my business as well, because I just see the biggest impact from the email list. But you mentioned you don't have the biggest social media following in your audience. You're focused on page views and email lists. Can you talk a little bit for like some of the things that CoSchedule is specifically doing to build the email list?
Yeah, one of the things that we do is, you know, one, we target very heavily, you know, a large variety of keywords and do a lot of SEO. So it actually starts with SEO. We create content around those topics. There's nothing particularly new there other than, you know, a lot of link building and some strategies that we've used to really build page rank and, you know, be a list of just about any keyword that we target. First, generate the traffic. But the second piece is like, once you get the traffic there, how do you handle it? So one, you just have to create really engaging content. Our content is usually 2,500 words, highly action oriented, and usually based on data that we've collected ourselves. So an experiment or something that we've run or a process that we've proven. Engaging content that through even our 2,500 word posts. We have several calls to action on the page. The way we think about it is that, and the way I talk about in the book, is that every single page on your website should have one job and one job only. And too often when you go to a blog in particular, or a, you know, like a paste or somebody's hosting a video or something like that, you'll see that there's multiple calls to action. Like, hey, here, click here to go back to our website and learn more about our brand, or click here to search our, or here, or like to delete for our past or for a conference or for all these different things. And so what we're actually in is really segmenting and segregating your audience, and you're taking them away from your primary call to action. So if you go to the CoSchedule blog, you're going to notice care about one thing and one thing only, and that is for you a valuable resource, and they are valuable. We have worksheets, we have infographics, we have whole marketing planning documents, like something that's very customized to the topic of the content you're looking at and provides you with ridiculously large amounts of value. It's not just something that's there to get your email address. We actually do provide you with a marketing planning worksheet or a template or something like that. So focus the page on one goal, and we don't, what we call cookies or downloadables that really provide value to the reader and you know, allows us to get the email address into our system. And then, of course, treating it with respect after that. I mean, we do provide a lot of high value content that remains valuable to those audience members. So it's not, you know, we're not changing this.
And I really like this idea of you creating customized content based on where people are on CoSchedule, because there's a lot of content there. And you're basically, like, in a sense saying, like, this is the blog post you're reading. We're going to have a call to action that is related to this blog post. And it's not like you're bombarding them with so many different calls to actions where you get people overwhelmed with the amount of potential decisions that you're giving them. But I know it wasn't always like that. I mean, like, all companies and businesses and entrepreneurs, like, they have to go deep into a journey to reach that level. And on your journey, I'm wondering if you could share with us one of the big challenges you faced during that journey and the powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, I think the common mistakes that you see, right? Big popovers that take over the page at Kanger. Every year you have a pop-up in your face with a bad call to action, right? Want to join our email list? I've been here for 2 seconds and I haven't even proven if what he provided. So, you know, we've made a lot of those types of mistakes. And the thing about those is when the pop-ups are very aggressive and some of those types of things are kind of in your face, you'll actually see results. For whatever reason, they still do. And those are sort of these false signals. But the quality of the list and the quality of the subscriber in some of those cases just isn't all that good. And a lot of times it's not because of the method. It's not because you popped up on the screen or took over the screen or anything like that. It's more so because your calls to action just aren't the right thing, right? Like you see, you know, 100 times a day, you'll browse around and you'll see people just say, hey, join our list, join our list, join our list. But they forget to answer the crucial question, which is what's in it for them, right? What's in it for your audience member? What's in it for your visitor? Why would they want to join your list? You think about that, right? Like, why would a stranger off the street want to join your email list? You know, so you have to kind of connect the value to them. So I think there's lots of mistakes we've made, and a lot of them come to you here to really earn an email address or to really earn a subscriber or somebody who's going to be a longtime reader of the Coast Schedule blog. And so you always have to be answering that question, what's in it for them and how do you overcome, you know, that position where they're walking in basically as a stranger and provide them with value right off the street.
And that is a really great question we should ask ourselves when we're creating content, when we're creating a lead magnet. What is the biggest, people are going to ask, what's in it for me if I read this content, if I subscribe? So having that question in mind will help you with creating better content. And on the thought of better content, one of the things I enjoy doing is reading as many books as possible. So Garrett, I wonder if you could share with us 3 book recommendations that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
So a few book recommendations. I think one of my favorites for marketers out there and really kind of keying off our subject of what's in it for them is a book called Ogilvy on Advertising. And that's an advertising book that really does a good job of talking about how advertising and how copy works together and how to does a really good job of helping people understand that what's in it for them. Tons of good examples and ads, and it's kind of got that vintage feel to it. So Ogilvy on Advertising would be one I would definitely recommend. Blue Ocean Strategy, which if you're interested in competition free content and really creating something really unique and different and differentiating your business, I think that's a really good one to read. And it just helps you start thinking about, and it's where you're doing everything the same as your competitors, and blue oceans are clear, wide open for sailing. And those happen when you are, you know, really differentiating yourself and allowing yourself to have a lot of growth and movement going forward. And then maybe one that I'm currently reading, which is called Lost and Flounder by Rand Fishkin. He was a CEO of Moz, great guy, great founder, and a really interesting read on his kind of story and journey through Moz and a lot of stuff that I think entrepreneurs can pick up there.
Garrett, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, marketability.com/E250. We'll also throw in 2 other books in there, Content Marketing Secrets. You can get your free copy, just pay for shipping at marketability.com/book, and you can pre-order your copy of Podcast Domination. That will also be in the show notes as well. But before we wrap up this episode, Garrett, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to ask ourselves more often?
Well, I kind of go back to the focus idea, right? Like, is this really producing the results I need to, you know, for massive success? And everybody has to define, like, what is success for them. But take a look at your day. Think about how you're spending your time. Think about the marketing efforts you're using, the content you're producing, and just ask yourself, you know, is this really going to get me where I need to go? And I think if you constantly ask yourself that question and answer it honestly, and then we'll make the hard decision after it, if necessary, you can, like, that's, I think, oftentimes what really separates those who become very successful in a massive way versus those who don't. It's just a matter of being able to prioritize and say no to certain things. And, you know, sometimes saying no is actually easier than saying yes to more. So that way.
Garrett, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Garrett, get the book, The 10X Marketing Formula, which will be in the show notes. And you can also get a free 14-day trial of CoSchedule. All of those links will be in the show notes, but I recommend you check both of those out. Garrett, I can't thank you enough for coming on Breakthrough Success and sharing all of your great insights. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, awesome to be on. Thanks for the time and thanks for the great interview.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn